This is Recorded Podcast, another day, another podcast. I'm joined by a sports fanatic, some may say junkie. Please introduce yourself, Young King.
What's going on, bro? I'm excited to be on the This is Recorded Podcast. My name's Dietrich Matthews. I'm Reggie's little cousin. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. Sports guy my whole life. Played basketball, played baseball, a little bit collegiately, baseball, coached basketball. So I'm ready to, I'm not even going to talk since I'm just ready to dive into these topics. Let's go.
Man, so like sports in your life, like when you were playing and everything like that, what did it mean to you, like sports in your life?
Bro, it was like, I'm telling you, we did, like, at my job today, I'm in training, we did some stuff with, like, we played this game called Kahoot, and everybody got, all these cartoons keep coming up, and I'm like, I don't know any of these cartoons. I didn't even watch cartoons as a kid, bro. All I did was watch sports. That's all I did. I woke up Saturday morning, watch College Game Day, watch college game, watch every single sports thing that was on. I was watching it. I don't know what it was about sports. I just always been locked in on it. So it's just, I mean, it's contributed to everything in my life. It's made me who I am, just being a competitor in every aspect of my life, not even just in sports anymore, but that translates over once you stop playing sports and you're not fortunate enough to be one of the few people that are professional athletes. You go into the professional world and graduate in college and stuff. Just makes you competitive in that aspect, making you want more things in life, because that's all I've been doing is competing my whole life. So, sports has just been, it's my life, and it's going to continue to be my life. Even though I'm not even directly working in it right now, I still like to stay engaged with it.
Yeah, sports is like, for me, it's like I wasn't super big on them until I got like maybe like 99. I was probably like, 12. And that's when I really, really, 99? The Knicks.
Wait, you was 12 in 99?
Yeah, man, I'm old nigga. Yo, hold on. 99? I'm a real nigga, bro. I was born in 87, bro. Whoa, 80s baby. Ask Young Dolph. I was born in the 80s. Crack baby. You already know. But, yeah, it was crazy because I know you play baseball, but I really, like, my first big thing, like, of course I watched Michael Jordan, 96, but I love basketball. Basketball, my favorite. But Jordan was winning every year. That shit got boring to me. I was like, I didn't have, like, a specific team, but it was like I would always watch the games. I would watch Shaq. I'm playing fucking, like, Live 95, which was terrible graphics when it had number 23 because Jordan's name couldn't be on the damn thing. Real niggas could relate. You too young to know about that. But Jordan would not trademark his name. Jordan would not trademark his name, so you just had number 23 on the Bulls. That was fucking amazing at the time. Like, he was just really, really amazing, man. So I knew Shaq. The starter jackets was big. The Emmitt Smith jerseys was ridiculous.
That, like, would be him to not let his name be trademarked.
Oh, just, man, it was crazy because I didn't have a specific team, but I just always liked sports. But back in them days, I never was big on football because I used to watch them play in the street and they used to really, really fuck each other up. Like, I was like, whoa, that ain't my sport, bro, at all. I was like, football is like, and in the 90s, it was still rough, obviously. So that wasn't it. But like in 99, the Knicks went to the championship and they was like an eighth seed. It was a crazy historic season. And the quick story I've been waiting to tell, I'm glad I could tell it now, is the Knicks went all the way to the championship. And in Times Square, they had a billboard, like, sign this to cheer the New York Knicks on. So I'm like, yo, I signed this. They going to win. Then these niggas got swept by the Spurs for Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan's first chip. They got swept by the Spurs.
Oh, he's one of the only players that ever won MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in his career. So you already know that.
The hurt I felt to sign that, and I'm like, "We gonna do it? Go New York!" And
I used to love some Knicks guys, but I loved Allen Houston.
Yeah, Allen Houston.
One of my favorite players, bro.
Man.
Travis Sprewell when he was there.
That's 99. Larry Johnson hits a four-point play. Allen Houston gets the ball to just drop in against Miami. I think it was big. That also, another story, another side note. That's when my aunt told me I need to wear deodorant, and I was like, nah, I don't. And then I had a Latrell Sprewell jersey, and she was like, yo, smell this. And I was like, you right. I do need to wear deodorant.
Yeah, we all had to learn that.
I was like, that Latrell Sprewell jersey wasn't really right. It was really nasty. Yeah. But sports is – so in Baltimore, tell us a little bit about – I know the Ravens fans, even though the team came in like 99 and 2000, they are nuts. How is the sports scene in Baltimore?
We only got football and baseball. And then,
Shout out to the Baltimore Bullets, RIP. RIP to Baltimore Bullets.
They never coming back. Football is crazy. Man, it's crazy. I live right across the street from the stadium, actually. My apartment complex is literally right across the street. I can see the stadium from my rooftop. Damn. And bro, literally the first home game, if you left your house, you're not getting back to your house. It's crazy down here when the Ravens come. I mean, it's a big stadium and they pack it every single night. So it's football is king here in Maryland. Besides the cross and stuff, but yeah, football is king here. And then we have the baseball. We're struggling right now. We haven't won since like the 80s. So, yeah, there's optimism around the Orioles. And when they win, there's buzz around the city. But it's nothing like the Ravens. But low key though, what we really got is high school basketball. We got hoopers in Baltimore. We have the hoopers. And I'm telling you, dudes who really can go. I played at St. Francis during ball leagues and stuff like that, bro. When I tell you the level of basketball has always been high here and there's so many hidden gems, that's why I don't know why the University of Maryland is not good at football or basketball. There's no reason that you cannot, like St. Francis right now has like 20 kids, 20 plus kids who are D1 bound, Division I football, like FBS stuff, Power 5 schools, like these. Baltimore is like one of the, it's a gem. And if you can own that recruiting area like Maryland should be able to, the sky would be the limit for the program, but they can't do that. So they gotta hire somebody that can do that. But yeah, other than that, Baltimore is I don't know why I said I'm from Baltimore. I live in Baltimore. I'm from Edgewood, Maryland. That's why I got to know. Your followers got to know that Edgewood, Maryland is a little bit above Baltimore. It's outside of, just like how y'all live outside of Atlanta. It's a little bit outside of Baltimore. And that's where I grew up. And that place made me the man. I feel like I'm solid because of that place. But the hooping scene out there is a little... It's going to grow at some point. It goes through its phases. I think when I graduated, that was when it started to phase out there. But it's going to come back at some point, too. And I think I coach some of the younger kids, so I know it's gonna come back strong out there.
And it's crazy, though, that you said that because, like, really, if you look at the Steph Currys and the different people, even I know you know. What's the light-skinned dude that's really good that's going to play ball and his dad was in the NBA? He's like...
Light-skinned dude. The top... Cole Anthony.
Yes.
Cole Anthony, for sure.
Yes. It's like, even though these dudes...
Not a fan, but he can hoop. Yeah. He can hoop.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's like, even though these dudes growing up privileged or maybe you lived in Edgewood and it's a little bit nicer, they still are hoopers and they looking for the buckets.
Oh, for sure.
They looking for sure. Like you live in a better area, like they, some of them is dogs and they run to play. They want to play against the best.
People don't realize that gives you a chip on your shoulder though. When you come from like with everybody, whenever we used to go down and play teams from the city, everybody like, oh, they the county boys, blah, blah, blah. They going to dominate them. So it makes you, the moment you get on that court, look, you from there, I'm from here. But either way, when we get on the court, it's one-on-one, and our team against your team, and we still going, we're going to show that we not no, for lack of a better word, no chumps. It gives you a chip on your shoulder. And that's why you see dudes like, that's the one thing I do respect about Cole Anthony and LaMelo Ball, who's one of my favorite young players to watch. Like, those dudes come from good background, but it also makes you a killer inside, too. And you can see it in how they play.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It seems like now, more than ever, maybe the past 5-10 years, it's dudes from the suburbs that's really, really balling. Like, you can't sleep like, oh, you a pretty boy. Like, no, these is killers. Like, they play basketball.
Kobe Bryant, too, bro. Kobe Bryant, too. I don't know why I forgot about that. Oh, that's another privileged kid. He's a killer. I'm not a Kobe. I'm a LeBron James fan. I'll make that clear. But Kobe Bryant's a killer, and he deserves that. He deserves to be mentioned. You want to talk about some stars who was raised in good backgrounds and stuff like that, who got a killer mentality? I think that proves the point right there. It gives you a chip on your shoulder.
Now, if you want to make people mad right now, here's your opportunity. Why is LeBron better than Kobe? Let's get it.
Reggie, I love what your followers, and my followers are going to hear this too, because I know they're going to watch this when I post this on my page too. Listen, I love a good hot take. And LeBron James, I mean, this isn't even a hot take anymore. He's the best player any of us have ever seen. And I will go toe-to-toe with anybody. Jordan's a great basketball player. He is the GOAT of his time frame. I mean, the list goes on and on. I've heard every single argument. And the 6-0, of course, cool. We get it. 6-0. It's an amazing feat for a career. But the things he's really done, a lot of people don't mention, is the defensive MVP and MVP in the same season. That is impressive. That is impressive no matter what people. LeBron got robbed of that in 2013. He got robbed of that. Marc Gasol, who was a second team all defense, won the defensive MVP when that was LeBron James' award, and LeBron finished second. He got robbed of that. But back to Jordan. Jordan, you know, his accomplishments are what they are. We know what it is. The guy went a season averaging 33-8-8. Like, he's one of the GOATs. But, evolution. We all know evolution. We all know that, like, games evolve. It's just no. You see what LeBron is right now, man. I don't see anybody, because a lot of guys say that, like, Jordan can pass. Jordan can create for others. Kobe can pass. Kobe can create for others. They can do that, Reggie. They can do that. And I will never refute that those guys can do that for you. But LeBron James does it. That is his career. He scored at the same level. At the same level, almost the same with better efficiency, because he's 51% almost for his whole career in field goal percentage. 51%, but he gives you that playmaking for others along with that. So I don't know. I'm crazy. But if we don't know anything about all three of these players, and you look at their number and you see their career accomplishment, and we take out the fact that LeBron lost 6. And we just say LeBron has 3 rings, Jordan has 6, Kobe has 5. And we look at their career accomplishments. We look where LeBron's the first player, no, the only player that had 30,000 points, 8,000 rebounds, 8,000 assists in his career. The only player to ever do that. The only player. And he's the only player in the finals to lead both teams in scoring, rebound, block, assist. Bro. Come on now.
And you know what I think the hidden part of all of this is that gets unlooked and people don't account for is coaching. And they had Phil Jackson. They both had Phil like Jackson. Bro, that coaching is bro. Every coaching is like, I gotta be your eyes and ears that you can't see. And LeBron never had a coach ever. He's never had a coach.
He's a good defensive coach, but this is not football. defense does not win championships in basketball in today's. And as the game was transitioning, defense was not going to win you a championship. You had to put the ball in the rim still. You still have to be able to put the ball in the rim in basketball. So, it's you're not going to shut out anybody in basketball. So,
I think this is like top five lists and all the stuff that I hate, because everybody going to have a different argument because each person is going to mean something different. Maybe you watch Kobe with your dad, or you remember going to a game, or you met him. And then, like, so it's going to be – we could argue all night, but I just love to do it because people get so worked up, especially Kobe fans. Kobe fans are the worst.
I get so much. Kobe fans are the worst because they they've been out of the argument for so long that they have to enter this man back in. They have to enter this man back in. But Kobe's top three. Those are my top three right there.
So the answer is, whoever you think is right, that's you, because ain't nobody gonna be able to like knock you off your square. You gonna believe that.
For
like
sure.
Just like top 520 rappers list. If you didn't grow up in that era, why the fuck would you put Slick Rick and KR? Why would you even do that? You would not.
For sure.
You would
for
not.
Sure.
So all of this
is all subjective. It's all subjective. I would never get mad at anybody. I love getting into those debates. I would get so passionate, but I promise you, I would dab you up after. I love it. I do not care. I just love to talk about LeBron, Jordan, and Kobe.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's
crave that.
It's the Mount Rushmore that is gonna keep on giving, but. Speaking of, I'm going to say it now, future Mount Rushmore, because he's going to be one of the best. Talk about the young king, Lamar Jackson. That last play, oh my God. That, if anybody has not seen that last touchdown, please do yourself a favor. I'm going to probably have to post it on the This Is Recorded page on Instagram, because that last play was the most amazing thing. I didn't really see Vic play for real. I only seen highlights. As far as a running, I've never seen nothing like that last play. I was just sitting there amazed. Like, and I'm glad that I seen it live. Like, certain things you got to see live to believe it. Like, I seen LeBron bank shot.
You've seen Vic do some stuff. You seen some Vic stuff. That game winning touchdown versus the Vikings.
Oh, yeah. I seen it on replay, but seeing it live was something different.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Wow. And shout out to all of y'all, mainly white analysts, if we keeping it a buck, talking about Lamar's just a running back. They made him run last year in the playoffs. They didn't let him throw the ball. That's not fair
for sure.
To say. They made him run the ball a million times.
And Reggie, I may even correct you, bro. It's really not even a white analyst. I've seen a lot of Max Kellerman, Rex Ryan, people on Lamar's behalf. There's a lot of the black guys who are doing it, which is a real problem to get.
Well, I don't have cable, so I might be wrong. So I'm glad you corrected me.
I can see where people have their words. I can see. I can understand. But we will not be talking about this man. Look, freshman year in college. I think he threw about 1,500 yards. Second year, may have hit like 2,000. Junior year, this man did close to 3,500 yards, 1,500 rushing yards, and wins the Heisman Trophy. Everybody's like, whoa, he puts us on notice. Then next year, he improves. Completion percentage goes up to his highest it's ever been in his career when he's playing with horrible – I'm not going to say horrible, excuse me. I shouldn't have said that. He's playing with pretty solid receivers with not so sure hands, a rough offensive line. The guy goes for 3,500 back-to-back years, and then 1,500 rushing yards, and then he gets to the combine, and nobody's ever, I promise you, I watch this man every single week, week in, week out. Nobody's ever talking about, he needs to be a running back. Nobody's ever saying this to you. Nobody's ever saying this to you, except for there was, I can't remember the analyst's name, but they know who they are. And they said that he'll be better suited as a wide, Louisville needs to move him to wide receiver. And that was probably the only thing I heard about it. But what has that man done to show anybody? So, hold on, 3,500, 1,500 yards. So I'm going to list Lamar Jackson critics, what they say. They say, I'm worried about this man getting injured. You know, he's runs the ball a lot. He takes too many hits. He did not miss one game in college football. He did not miss one. So where does your fact come from that you're going to say he's going to, because of what history told you? He's different. He's mentally different. One, in the first, you can clearly see by the way he handles himself. He's different. Those guys from Broward County are different. No matter what the world wants to say, they can take things that normal people cannot take. Lamar Jackson is a football player. He can take it. That's just what his – and he knows how to take them in a way that it absorbs whatever type of impact, and he goes down in the correct way. He does need to get it down a little bit more, and I'll give you guys that. I'll give you guys that. But he's fine. Don't worry about us. We're good over here in Baltimore. And then the passing thing, his accuracy. Okay, I can see that too. He only had 59% in college, so, you know, I can understand what y'all thought process is with that. But guys like Baker Mayfield threw for 62%, and that's only like 3% apart.
Yeah, and that's or what Josh, that's Josh, that's probably Josh, what Josh, it is too.
Josh Rosen.
Yeah, that's what. What'd you say?
They're 3% apart. That's 3%. So show me the why can't he? And he was facing some pretty solid ACC competition at that time. Clemson was a pretty good defense. You faced teams like North Carolina, different ACC teams that he has to face. Florida State. I don't understand versus Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen who are in the Pac-12 and Big 12. What about them says that they can pass so much better than Lamar?
Yeah, and it, you know, and it's just like that's why I said it was. I'm conditioned like they're conditioned that it was probably white analysts because this is what they always do to the black quarterback. They always say, oh, well, maybe he should switch to wide receiver, his accuracy. Oh, he's going to get hurt. They are throwing Cam Newton's name through the mud, like, right now. They are going so hard on him, and it's like, bro, are you serious? Like, it's a lot of other white quarterbacks, too, that, I mean, are doing bad.
Horrible.
And it's like, yo, like, are you – you, is Cam Newton over? And I understand it's all fake, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know, I'm not ESPN. This is my independent podcast. It's all fake. They got to create a story to talk about. So one of the headlines, hey, let's say Cam Newton's done and get everybody riled up. Let's do these things to get everybody riled up. This is how the media works. The media works just like Instagram, just like anything in your life. If you say, hey, I'm Dietrich, I'm giving kids sneakers. Help me out. Everybody's like, oh, okay, that's cool. But if you're like, hey, I'm Dietrich. Hey, where these niggas at? I'm about to shoot them right now. I'm about to go on live, bro. Hear the gun right now. Let's see it. Everybody's going to watch that. They don't care that Dietrich's giving shoes to people in Baltimore. They don't care about that. But if Dietrich about to lose his life or lose his freedom trying to shoot somebody, everybody's tuned in. Everybody's tuned in.
The analysts have been doing that forever, the black quarterback. Saying, like, it's just like systemic oppression in every other aspect of life. It's just, it's carried over into the NFL, as we've seen with everything to every single athlete. It's carried over, and it's made people, the positions that white players are the most prominent in are offensive line and quarterback.
That's it.
That's where they're most prominent. And those are the positions that people say require the most, mental fortitude or intelligence. I guess just to be simple, that requires the most intelligence. And black players are just put at every single other position. So because people think that, oh, we don't see that many black quarterbacks, it may be okay to think that way. You don't see that many because it's put in their minds that they're not capable of being able to do that. And this is the biggest problem, and this is what I want everybody to really listen to. This is the biggest problem. Why is it not okay for a black quarterback just to be a backup? Why is that not okay? When did that be, Reggie, think about when did that be it's a problem that Cam Newton is not a superstar. It's a problem that, I just saw somebody tweet the other day, oh, I want Colin Kaepernick to get a job so people can see that it's not a race thing. It's just that he's washed thing. Okay, Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, he as good and well may be washed as an NFL quarterback. He may not be a number one quarterback, but can he not be a Ryan Fitzpatrick? Can he not be a Case Keenum who threw three interceptions last night versus the Bears? Can he not be a Brandon Whedon who was 32 years old and got a job with the Cowboys as a backup? Why can't a black quarterback be any of those things? That makes no sense to me. It makes no sense. It's either a black quarterback has to be crazy good, crazy intelligent. Oh, he's a superstar in the board. Why are you surprised that he's a superstar in the boardroom? Like, what, you think that all black guys can't? Like, that was all that was talked about with Jameis Winston when he first came out. Oh, this guy thinks like Peyton Manning. What? Why are you surprised? You're surprised that he was on a, principal is. I'm thinking of deans that's in college. He had one of the best GPAs at his school in high school. Like, the dude has always been smart. But it's like, people forget that it's okay to be, not everybody is going to be a superstar. Being a backup is good enough. That's good enough. And that's the problem, and that's the double standard with the black quarterback that's been going on for so long, and that I really just want people to understand that, yeah, not all of us are going to be Deshaun Watson. Not all of us are going to be Lamar Jackson. Not all of us are going to have success like Steve McNair, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick. Like all these people, not all of us are going to have that success. So it's okay for us to be a backup quarterback. It's okay.
Yeah, and that's a point that I was sitting there skimming through my mind, like thinking about a black backup that's like 30 something, and nope, don't really. And if they are, they just sitting there and they know they about to replace somebody. It ain't like they
probably
just there because they good.
RG3's probably the only 30-year-old, probably. I don't even know how old he is. But he's probably he's younger. He looks young, so I don't even know.
But I'm thinking back, McNabb and Vic. It was like they were just waiting for you to mess up as a black starting quarterback to replace you. There's never been like a 35 in my memory bank right now. I can't think of no 35-year-old black quarterbacks that travel around the league like these guys. And even these guys that get called up, they were sitting at home in these great stories. And it's like, this is my thing right here. I'm a black man, so I'm always going to speak up for black issues. But I have no problem with no race at all. Like, for you to say, I love Beyonce's mom quote in, you know, in Don't Touch My Hair before that song come on. She said, it's not that I'm against white people and don't like them. I'm just talking about being black, and I'm proud of it. That doesn't mean that I hate white people. It's just that I see what's going wrong. But like you said, it's tricks. Just like, oh, he's got to be intelligent. It's all tricks to trick us into thinking a certain way. And like you said, that's a great point that you brought up with backups. And even right now, looking around, I think this is the most black starting quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life.
Because the game's changing. The game was inevitable that the game would change and become more faster and more athletic. So now you start to see there's more black quarterbacks that are being desired by these big schools because, look, I mean, we have the athletes. We're of the majority of the athletes playing football, and that's the fact of the matter. But now you see the white quarterbacks are even evolving because they see that, okay, I can't just be Peyton Manning. I got to be a mix of
Daniel Jones.
I have to be like, exactly. It has to be. I got to be a Steve Jones. And they're seeing that, and I love the fact that white quarterbacks are even becoming more agile. I love seeing that too. I just want a fair shake in the sport that's supposed to be ours. Like, that's supposed to be our thing. So why can't we get a fair shake?
Yeah.
Why can't we get a fair shake at our position and be judged as fair as everybody else is judged? Give us at least that. You don't even have to give us but just treat us the same as you would treat any other white quarterback who's miserably failing. I even heard Teddy Bridgewater being bashed the other day and saying Taysom Hill should be the start. Taysom Hill, I have never seen an NFL analyst advocate for a running quarterback who is unproven as a passer. He's never proven that he's fastball. I have never seen them advocate for a black running quarterback who has never proven himself as a passer to be a starter until Taysom Hill. I have never seen that in my life.
Yeah.
In my life, I've never seen it.
It's really, really nuts Like, but it's like, shout out right now, man, Jacoby Brissett, Lamar Jackson. Who else we got? Russell Wilson. Who else? Man, it's a couple right now. Who you just said, Teddy Bridgewater. I know it's somebody else I'm forgetting. It's a lot of black quarterbacks. Oh,
it's
right
a, yeah, it's
Cam Newton when he was playing.
Deshaun Watson.
It's
Patrick
like
Patrick Mahomes is black.
Yeah, like it's literally. I didn't fact check, and if you listening, you can fact check. Talk about it in the comments, or you know, hit Dietrich, hit whoever, and we'll see. This might be the most starting black quarterbacks ever in the history of the NFL. I'm willing to put some money on that. I really think it is. Not like somebody got hurt. Like, no, this person is the starter. I think it's the most. I think the only person that's.
And there's some coming up. Dwayne Haskins is coming up.
He might get called up next week or Sunday.
Very soon.
It's just beautiful. What'd you say?
Yeah, I don't want it to seem like I'm like, because I just want to see us get a fair shake. I love seeing good quarterback play no matter who it is. I love to watch, what's his name? I forgot his name. I love to watch Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers talk trash. He be talking shit on the sideline. He's great.
I love to watch Aaron Rodgers. I love all these guys, bro. I don't want it to be a race issue. That's the thing. I don't even want it to be a race issue because it shouldn't have to be. It should just be, you're good at this position. Let me judge you on just your position and not have any type of racial bias in any of my opinions. And just be straight up about it.
And that's facts. Like, that's what I love about most black people. And I feel like we are really, really forgiving, almost to a fault sometimes. We let people run over us and use us and do things. Because I say, like, most of the time when you have, like, somebody that's dating, it's a black and a white family. Sometimes when you meet the white family, they not really that inviting. But the black family, at first, maybe they may snicker and do little things. But after a while, it's like, yo, I don't care about you. Where's your girlfriend at? Where's she at? It'd be like that. But sometimes when it's the other way around, it never really get there sometimes. And I'm not going to say all white people is like that. But from what I've heard and friends I've been around, it's like not that accepted on the other side. But for us, it's like we all be like most of us is like welcoming. And then after a while, after being around them, it's like, oh, yeah, where's your girlfriend at? Where's your fiance? Where's your wife? Like, it's just more accepted. And that's for us in sports and everything. Just give us our fair shake. That's it. That's all everybody wants. Yeah.
You definitely will hear more. And I'm a person, I mean, I'm engaged to a white female. So I, of course, know a lot of it. But you definitely hear more stories of white parents hating black kids than the black parents. And that's just a pure fact. And I'm in a situation, my girl's been complete opposite. Like they've loved me, been welcoming to me. Like never have I ever once had to feel like I'm the black kid around a bunch of white people around them. I've never felt like that, but that can't be the case, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be because it's so cliche, but it's like, it's just facts. Like, why can't we all just exist in our own lanes? Like, and just why do we have to group people? We have to, and it's even like, and it makes me feel, and I don't even want to compare. Sometimes I'm not even in the mood, even though it gets me going. I'm not even in the mood to compare LeBron, Kobe, and Jordan, because comparison really is the thief of joy. Like, you have to just, and like let things be what they are for what they are. That's their decision. Like Kobe played his career this way. That was his life. Like, you know what I mean? It's just we all have to find a way to just mind our own business and just accept everybody for who they are. And not compare each other and not put each other down with different opinions and stuff like that. And that's what bothers me a lot, because AB is being clowned by a lot of people. And it's a lot of black people who are clowning him. And he is doing a little bit of some outrageous stuff. But I'll let you speak on your take first about AB, though. I'll let you speak.
Oh, man, I'm glad you threw it to me because it's in this case, is what I'm learning. And with this podcast, I'm going to change some narratives. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing something special. I'm doing something different. And they feel like ain't nothing going to change. And I'm like, damn it, I'm going to change something. And I'm going to figure it out. And what I got to say about AB is everybody's losing right now. AB's losing. The NFL's losing. Everybody's losing. Because AB, because of the way he acted and whatever with the allegations, I don't really know. So I can't really speak on what's going on. But, I mean, if it happened, that's terrible. Things are just horrible. Like, that's really, really bad. And it's a problem with that culture of sexual assault, whatever, because people feel scared to say something. But also on the athlete side, they get used. So it's like, it's a sticky situation. If you not there, if it's not you, it's hard for some people to speak on it. That's number one on AB.
For sure.
And then number two, it's like, I was all for AB, but then Stephen A and different people broke down. Like, damn, you threw Mike Tomlin under the bus. Damn, you clown Juju, your teammate. Damn, you doing all this different stuff. And I'm like, bro, like, against the NFL, I'm like, get your money. I'm not playing. I'm not doing nothing. Get your money. I'm not for, because that's a game that the NFL likes to play. They will literally tell an athlete, I'll say that you're disgruntled. I'll do different things, and I'll trade you. So you might as well sign with us. This is what happens in the NFL. It's a nasty, nasty game. The music business, the sports business, the entertainment world is a nasty game. That's why I love podcasts so much. I love podcasts because it kind of gives you that open range to say whatever. But in AB action, which he was wrong, and he got yes men, but this is what I want to say to people that don't understand something right here. AB probably comes from shit. He comes from nothing. He comes from, like, not having much. And it hurts when you don't have much. So when you get something, it's going to bring a monster out of you. Like, I ain't never going back. And that's why he worked so damn hard. Because he was like, I'm not going back to that. So he does these crazy things.
Yes,
because it made him crazy living that life. So when he got on, he just went nuts. He became more of what he really is. But this is a humbling experience for him. Hopefully he gets some real good people around him. Because I tell people this all the time. I could be at the top of a mountain about to blow my brains out. Or I could be on the side of the road in a cardboard box with my wife trying to figure it out and be happy. Money ain't everything. And people really need to understand that. I could be in a mansion overlooking the finest country in the world, miserable as hell. Why do you think celebrities kill themselves? They're not happy. Happiness is the key. And AB, I think with him coming from such bad situations and having nothing, when he got something, he wanted to prove and stick it in everybody's face. He was a fifth-round draft pick. That's pain. That's like, y'all don't believe in me?
No, for sure.
Y'all don't believe in me? Y'all don't got love for me? Like, y'all don't think I'm that?
That's a good point.
So when he got on, he turned insane. And AB is a whole bunch of athletes. He's the wide receiver, period. All of them is like, y'all didn't believe in me. Y'all didn't believe in me. So when I get on, fuck everybody. That's what it is. Fuck you, 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 and you. I am the greatest. And they got to tell themselves that to pump themselves up and bring themselves to that level. Unfortunately for him, it went wrong. And he's wrong in some of the things he did. But now it's time to talk about the things he did right. I am on this podcast, and I can say anything that come out of my mouth. But guess what? Anybody is able to do anything they want to me, whether it's physically, and anybody can say whatever back. So when you, Ben Roethlisberger, when you, Robert Kraft, when you, a lot of people say certain things, don't throw rocks and hide your hand and try to paint him like he's crazy, but he's pointing out the clear-cut difference, and when certain people do certain things, they don't get in trouble. I can't speak on the Shannon Sharp part because I don't really know his allegations, but I know Ben Roethlisberger, in some stadiums, he has a nickname of Ben Rapistberger, but you do your research on that. And then Robert Kraft, it was a part of a problem that's big in America, whether he knew or not, but sex trafficking is a big deal in America right now. It's a big, big deal. But I never liked Ben Roethlisberger and still don't. I wish him well as an individual and as a human being, but as a quarterback, I never liked him, number one, because he throw people under the bus all the time. I never liked that. And number two, he tries to act like he's a model citizen where you could do your Googles and check that out. I never liked him because of that.
For sure.
And when you with your brothers, you don't throw your brother under the bus. When the media, hey, Dietrich, you know, Dietrich was out there. I got to throw the ball a little better. Behind closed doors, I'm like, Dietrich, what the fuck? You running the wrong route, man. Like, what is wrong with you? But in front of the media, we got to play this game because we a brotherhood. We in this locker room together. So basically, in a nutshell, that's how I feel like everybody lost because there is no winners. And the NFL has a system that if you mess up their system, you won't be in it. Colin Kaepernick, and we'll see about AB. I'm going to throw it to you on how you feel about it.
Bro, I've had a flurry of emotions with this. Like, I've been up and down. I was on his side, not on his side, on his side. But, I mean, I have an evolving opinion, and I'm allowed to have that. So, because I take all things in consideration, and I try to be as non-biased as I can be. You know what I mean? So, there's so many layers to the situation that it's kind of hard to like pinpoint.
And it's still pending too, so we can't even say exactly much.
But I think the first thing I want to look at is the fact that why he got cut by the Patriots and how really wrong that was is because he's not being convicted of any crime. He's not being convicted of any crime. The girl just filed a civil suit with the guy, so she's trying to get a check, which is that's what civil suits are for. So she filed that's what it's under right now. So he's allowed to text this girl. A lawyer would tell you, you know, this case is pending in the court right now, so you really should try to stay away from speaking to her, which is what he should have did. We all know that. He should have did that. Like, I'm not gonna defend that man that hard to be like, all right, you know, he was in the right for texting this girl. No, he wasn't. But I saw the text messages, and I don't have the picture right in front of me, but I read the nature of the text messages. They said that these were threatening messages. They were not threatening at all. He was making fun of the woman, insulting the woman to her face, her phone, but he was not. There was no threatening message of that he's going to put his hands on her from the messages that I saw. Unless there's something that I didn't see, from what I saw, it wasn't there. Now, if AB did these things, he's really disgusting, and I would never be on his side. But from the facts right now, it's not. Society is always guilty till proven innocent. But he's innocent right now, which is a fact. That's the fact that we have. He's innocent right now, and I don't see any problem with him defending himself with this girl. Because if I know somebody threw slander on my name, which that's what it is, it's slander. That's his man's name. You're calling this man a rapist. He will never, if he gets convicted or he has to, that's why he's not settling with these girls. Because if he settles, he's admitting to that. He's done something disgusting. He's a sex offender,
you have to register as a sex offender everywhere you live.
You're a sex offender. He's admitting to guilt by Sutherland, and that's why he's not, because he feels that he didn't do those things. And I know one of the girls, I saw videos of them two laying in bed together, and I know that. I'm not even going to touch on that because that can be touchy. Men can still rape someone that they've messed with before. So that's a real thing, and it's not right. So I'm not going to touch on that. But I will say that, I mean, if you feel that your name is being slandered out there, and I know that if somebody said that I raped them, I would want to defend myself to that person directly to the source. Like, what are you doing? Why are you saying this about me? And I'm pretty sure, would you?
Definitely. I think the last straw they said is that he sent pictures of her kids to her. Like, I think they tried to say it was mob style. Now, I'm not 100% correct, but I think that's when Nike dropped him, and then that's when the Patriots cut him, because they said, while he was on the Patriots, he texted her a picture of her kids, like, I guess suggesting that.
But there was a message under it. And none of the messages under that were, like, saying anything. They were reaching. They wanted to get rid of him. I mean, and I can understand it was a problem. Like, he was a problem. He should have stayed in Oakland. He should have just did things. But my thing is, why are people surprised also? Like, this is Terrell Owens once called his married quarterback, who's married to a woman, called him gay, Jeff Garcia, when he was playing for San Francisco. He called him gay in the media. Like, dude, you know, like, you're talking about somebody's family. Like, he's on the road all the time, so his wife could be maybe like, all right, maybe he could, like, you could be affected this man's marriage, in a sense. And he's done that. Terrell Owens doing punches in front of the media, in front of his house. This stuff has been done before. I heard Randy Moss the other day telling AB to shut up and play football. You're the wrong guy to be saying that. I get what you mean. It's a good point, dude. Randy Moss, it's been done before. So I'm not in shock that AB is, like, going off on these tangents. And, like, he's definitely spiraling right now. He's definitely spiraling. And I know when stuff is, like, against you, you can feel like you're back against the wall. And you may spit out things you don't even mean or want to say and things like that. He's definitely going to look back on it in time and be like, you know, I probably should have just, boom, like, kept it what it is and just took my $30 million, called it a day. Nobody would have said anything to me. I would have still remained one of the best seasons of football. And he will get a job again, I believe. Like, there's no way you let a talent like that just sit on it. Like, just be at home.
And it's crazy because that's what I'm trying to get across. And that's part of my, I let you in on my secret as far as the podcast goes. I'm trying to teach people that you can't judge a lot of people because they have been through a lot. AB probably had nothing. You said Randy Moss. Sure. Go watch the 30 for 30 about Randy Moss. Randy Moss got locked up. They kept bothering him. They kept locking him up. He's defending himself in a racist West Virginia. You want to know about Terrell Owens? Try this. Terrell Owens' dad lived across the street, and they didn't tell him until he was about like a teenager. Try looking a man in his face every day. Before you judge, right? Every day seeing this man and he don't want to love you, think about that shit. The next time you judge somebody and you say, oh, they crazy. You know what? They are. They are crazy. They done been through some shit that made them crazy. But instead, you get these talented black athletes that come from shit. You know what LeBron James said? LeBron James said his rent was $20 in a project, and he was a millionaire the next day. How are you supposed to act? Think about that. These dudes are coming from
nothing. We commend him on how he's acting.
Come on. These dudes is coming from nothing. And that's what I'm trying to tell people. When you see a homeless person, especially like in Baltimore, from whatever, before we judge, we don't know what they've been through. We don't know what their life was like. We don't know, like, imagine people who have their dads in their life. Imagine across the street. Your dad's been living across the street.
That's what we do. We like, and it goes both ways because there's been people that, like, I saw somebody when Tim Tebow was saying that he didn't believe that college athletes should get paid because it would take away amateurism. He spoke his point of view, and people were calling him a sellout, a privileged person. But Tim Tebow did not come from a background of privilege. You don't even know what this man has been through. And you sitting there that he's saying this because of this and that because he's rich now. He came from humble beginnings. He actually, like, he grinded his way to get where he's at. Like, so we do it in all different areas of life, but you have to really get to know somebody before you're gonna attack their character and understand. And it's like you said, people really don't get that these people really came from nothing and then went to something. And then, yeah, they may spiral a little bit. Like, they're almost like they had to grow up so fast. It can almost be like a childish reaction. They didn't get to be a child. They had to grow up in treacherous environments. Whereas I don't know specific to where AB and them live, but I know Terrell Owens grew up in a bad area. And Randy Moss grew up in a bad area. So, like, these dudes really, they went through stuff that I can't even speak on. I had both of my parents in the home. I lived in a nice house, but it's something that I consider that when I'm looking at AB, like, it's called having a worldview, and people don't understand that. We all should try to understand that, though. Have a worldview when you look at things, and a worldview is just seeing things from, man, this person is doing that, but what does his culture say why he's doing that? You're looking at things from a bigger lens if you have a good, positive worldview, and everybody should try to work on that.
And that's what I'm saying. They create this narrative that these black athletes, they act this way, they do this, they come from nothing, and they get everything, like, sometime overnight, $17, $20 for your rent, you're a millionaire. Think about, and I'm going to give you a few more examples real quick before we go. Allen Iverson, you know his mom and them, they never came to his games. Never came to his games. Till he got big, then he gets bigger. Then it's a bowling alley fight. And because he's a star in a racist Virginia, he gets locked up. He has a white family bring him in. Shout out to them. Bring him in. Get his GED. Graduate him out of prison. Do y'all know Michael Vick comes from different circumstances? And Dennis Rodman, check this clip. It's on Charlamagne's Instagram right now. Check how hurt this man is talking about a racist act that he went through as a kid. Watch his 30 for 30. Watch when people tell him, if you ever come around here again and you mess with these white girls, this is the rope I'm going to hang you from, nigga. And then he has a white friend with him. If I see you with him, I'll kill you too. Come on, man. And Dennis Rodman, he's crazy. You're right. So what does that mean after that? If you say, oh, they're crazy. You're right. They're crazy. But we gotta stop judging, like, period. Like, there, you are absolutely right.
We don't know the whole facts, and that's what I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going too far in depth with AB, because the biggest the problem isn't with the girls and stuff. It's the NFL. We all know the revolving the systemic oppression that's in that sport, and it's just bad. It's really bad at this point. And if Lamar Jackson wasn't playing, I would boycott. But I love to watch him play football, and I love the Ravens.
Yeah, and everybody that we all love the game, man. We like it's special to us. Like, whether you playing with your family, Turkey Bowl, or you just remember watching games on Thanksgiving, it's a special game. But what they doing is wrong. It's wrong. But for we sure. love it.
And when I'm advocating for AB, I want your followers. I do not agree with. I would never support somebody who openly was convicted for doing something like that. That's something that we need to treat women better. Period. It's sad that they can't even walk down the street and just feel okay. Like, that's really something that is so frowned upon, and I would never side with that man. But until he's proven guilty, I'm gonna give him the benefit of doubt in that aspect. And that's just a fact of the matter. We can't really be logical and be like, all right, I'm gonna be like, this man deserves to lose all his fortune, all of everything, all his name, his reputation, off of. We don't even know if what happened was true, because that's another fact that it has been done, that women have set men up. It's been done.
That's a big fact.
It just happened.
There is, if you really want to think about it, what he's done, we can't even speak on. We don't know, but it's no coincidence that Colin Kaepernick is out the league and nobody picks him up. And there's also no coincidence that when you change the minds, think about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. When you change minds, they're going to kill you. Or in the NFL, they're going to get rid of you. They're not going to have you.
They just play a complete mind game with these dudes. Like, it's literally, you have a lot of old white owners who literally control these guys' destiny. And that's why, they're getting very upset in basketball, and I love it. I love that basketball is a players' league, and that's why it's my favorite sport, is because how much they empower the players, and the players have control over their own destiny, because they're not just treated like they're the owner's employees.
They're implementing changing the name from owner. They're not doing that no more.
I love it. And that's bro, it shows that we're knocking down, like, people like LeBron and stuff like that. That's why that impact is so important, because we're just knocking down. And like you said earlier, that's all I really want, especially if some of my white followers who are listening to me talk on this podcast. I am not talking about black people in a way of, you know, you were better than you guys and this stuff and that. I'm just speaking of it. I just want it to all be fair. I just want us to all be judged the same way. All like that. It's just all, I want us to all have a fair shake. It's no way I'm engaged to a beautiful white woman who's like, she's the greatest. But I still, I have to speak on right and wrong and what I see out there in society and all of that. And that's what, bro, it's just, they've been controlling these guys for too long. And that's why, like, even the guarantees, the AP doesn't get his guarantee money. He was supposed to be paid $5 million yesterday, and they cut him on Friday. Bro, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
And that's all it is. It's all controlled. And all I can say to that is that if you're white or a different race, you can't relate to certain things. That's why they'll get mad, like, oh boy, it's racist again. Dietrich and Reggie, oh God, it's racist again. Because you ain't never been pulled over. You ain't never been.
Bro, I've been that person in that story. I went to Towson University, and Kyrie talked about PWI. My school's a PWI. So I've been that black guy that sounds like I'm bringing out race so much and stuff. But that's my reality. That's what I live in. Like, I live that. Like, regardless of where I've lived at, that's my reality. I can't help but talk about it, because that's what I'm experiencing. If I can't explain to you about what I'm experiencing in life, what can we talk about? Can you talk to me about your experiences? No. I'm just going to say no then. Then we have nothing to talk about.
And then I love.
You live in Georgia, so I know you have it way worse.
And this is what I love to say for people that like to question us and think it's all racist. If you're Caucasian, I'll clean it up for you. Or any other race. How many times in private have you heard people say nigga? And that's all I got to say really about that. How many times in private have you heard people say the word nigga? And you be shocked. And guess what? What I also like to let people know is, from me, it's been said to me twice. One time in front of my wife, probably 3 years ago, off of going too slow before getting
on. Thank God that I've never had to hear that. But, I know that.
But this is,
you experiencing that.
It's crazy, because it shocked my wife, like, whoa, like, she grew up in Germany and then was here in Georgia and all that, experienced that, and they wonder why. Like, if you can't relate, and I guess when we talk about sports passionate and it makes them mad and they don't want to talk about it no more, and, oh, you get mad, and they like to make us the angry black people, but the thing is, if you haven't experienced it, of course you can't understand. If Dietrich comes from money and flying his private jet everywhere, why is he going to care that we're going to Dubai just for the weekend? Why would he care?
Right.
Well, but if Dietrich come from the dirt, from nothing, the inner city of Baltimore, abandoned houses, homeless people, drugs, gangs, arrests, and somebody say, hey, I would love to take you to Dubai for the weekend, that shit will be amazing to him. Like, whoa. Like, but if Dietrich does this on the regular, fires up the private jet, he can't relate. So what I say to racism, you can't feel it the same. And it is going to feel like, oh, they're complaining again, because you never experienced that. So you cannot relate. I mean,
for sure, bro. It's,
that's it.
I'm for everybody having a better worldview, but I have to be for the advancement of my people. Like, I have to be for that, because their advancement is my advancement. I get it. Like, people will never know having to fill out. Like, some people who are not black will never have, or even, like, I'm sure Hispanics or Latinos can attest to that. Like, filling out a job application and then not knowing, like, should I check the mark? Like, I don't know if I should check that. Maybe it's gonna deter me from getting this job. The fact that that's in the back of my mind, and I've talked to my other peers from a different races who don't think like that. They don't think about that when they're applying for a job. It's just about their credentials. I feel like I have to, and that's why I'm doing my master's right now, because I feel that I have to be. As bad as it may seem, like, I feel like I have to be 10 times better than the average white person to compete, like, I'm 23 years old, but I hadn't had my master's, like, so, like, I'm trying to, if I'm not a unicorn in a sense, then I feel like I'm lacking, I feel like I'm a step behind, because you have to, like, it just feels like you're in an uphill climb, so it's important for us to keep on, and that's why I love the NBA so much, because they're speaking out on that stuff, the players are allowed to have a platform, and this is why this is so dope. And the only thing that sucks about it is that I can't get back what I say. That's the only thing that sucks, because it's like once I've said this in this interview, it's out there, and I don't even, some of the stuff I don't even remember what I said. So
yeah,
I apologize if it was, but that's why this is so cool though, because you can really just speak your mind and show people a different, like, I don't get to do this. None of my followers on Instagram get to hear me talk most of the time, unless it's like my close friends who I have group chats with. Nobody gets to hear me talk about sports and gets to hear me talk about how I feel about what's going on in life and how it is to be black. And this is a dope platform you started. I was just saying it's gonna be this is a part of, like, us changing, like, the moment you make it, you bring me back on, say, 5 years from now, and you're on a national stage and whatever, and I'm in whatever point in my life, and I feel like I'm successful. We're a part of the advancement. We're two people who are going to be mentors for our little cousins and even the little kids that we see at our old neighborhood, stuff like that. We're going to be somebody that they're going to be able to see that. Boom. We've been talking about this same shit, like the advancement of black people for forever. Like, I was 23 years old. Reggie was 55 years old.
I'm like 78. I'm a slight 78.
He was fucking talking about this shit, but like, this shit is gonna be dope. And I want to speak out for black people at any chance I get, because it's gonna be like, it's just needed, bro. It's so needed right now. It's needed.
And that's what I love about hip-hop and everything. One of the hardest bars I ever heard was by this dude named Saba, Chicago artist. He's amazing. That's Saba, S-A-B-A. He said he was having an argument with his girl, and his girl said, "You're not even listening. You just waiting to talk." And that's what we got to stop doing. We got to listen. It's like when Dietrich say black, it shouldn't trigger like, up, turn it off. Oh, my God. Here we go. Listen.
I'm sure.
To what he's saying. Sure. Listen to what he's saying. And for me, I think podcasts, I think the internet in general is a way for everybody to gain that financial freedom. And I think everybody will be better off when they get something that's their own, when they could tell somebody no.
Mm-hmm.
When you're able to look somebody in the face and say no. For me, I'm a New Yorker, so cursing is my first language over English. So I want to be able to say, fuck you, I'm not doing that. But when you work a job, you can't do that. And I think what drives people crazy is somebody listening right now that's going to school. It's somebody that's listening right now that's going to work. But you hate that place. You can't stand that place. That place drives you nuts. You bring that place home. That place might make you drink. That place might make you do drugs. That place might make you be a cheater and now you messing around. We all need, if we gain that financial freedom, because money is an evil thing, but it's the necessary thing. Because whether you're the biggest gang leader or you're a leader of a church, guess who both need what? We both need money in order to do things we need. So if we get this financial freedom, we share this podcast, we share our dreams, I bring people on. If we bring this and we get this, shout out to your beautiful sister, Ty. Watching her gain that is beautiful. This shit that I look up to.
She's choose to go, bro.
This is real shit that I watch, and this is shit that I look up to that I'm scrolling. You know, I seen my cousin. Sure. He plugged me in. I did some concerts. I was around many celebrities. Oh, your favorite, Meg Thee Stallion, 2 Chainz, Benny the Butcher was around me. Future was right there. I looked him in his face and gave him a hug, a real man. Like, yo, give me a hug, because you know what? I don't know them. I know you. And the next time I see you, you're going to be great. So that's what it is. We all need to get that financial freedom, and we're going to change this world, because we're going to be able to say what we want to say, like podcasts, and we're going to be able to get money how we get money, whether it's mentoring youth, through sports, through whatever it is. But the jobs and stuff are toxic, and that's just a real thing. Like, it really is toxic when you bring all this stuff, when you put that financial pressure on yourself. And it ain't about having the most.
We can get in real in depth. We're
going
to have to save that for another time. We just talk about
it. Yeah, I definitely.
And what the job was invented off of. What was the 9-to-5 designed for? And that's why I would constantly be striving to be an entrepreneur and my own boss. I promise you, I will be my own boss.
It's a necessary thing.
I define that 9-to-5 work lifestyle.
It's necessary. It's disgusting. You can have a whole child. You can have a Dietrich. You can have a Reggie. You can have whoever listening to this. And the job going to tell you when you go back. Not you. Think about that. They going to tell you, the man get 2 weeks. They going to tell you, come back to work. Fuck your kid. Come back to work. How does that feel? You want that, or you want to be right there for every step, every walk along the way? You know kids is dying at daycares? Do you know that? That they don't give a fuck because they just another number? This is real shit. It's a must that we gain our financial freedom. I want to raise my kids. I don't want no daycare. I don't want you to be the first words and this and that. I want to be around, and I want to show my kid I'm busting my ass. I'm working hard for you, king or queen. That's what I'm doing. That's it, and that's what all of us need. You get 6 to 8 weeks? That's crazy. We could go on and on and on, but I'm just telling you this, and you're great. If you listen to this, believe in yourself. You're great. Don't let no job define you. Don't let nothing define you. Tap into that greatness, because you may not believe it, and the mind is the hardest thing to conquer. You got it. Believe in yourself. Dietrich, you got anything else?
I thank you for letting me talk on this. I was hitting your phone, like, trying to, like, yeah, that's, I'm trying. You approached me with the idea, and I'm like, oh, I heard Kyrie talk. I'm like, you know, Kyrie, my little cousin. I'm like, I need to get on this. It's fun. It's fun to just talk, and bro, I could do this for hours, but, you know, I got some things to do. But
You handling like, business. Man,
for real. But it's definitely, I just want everybody that listens, especially the black males and stuff, just be positive influences, man. Give back in any way you can, especially if you're getting some success. It only has to be monetary stuff. I mean, I can't coach right now because I just started a new job and it changed my hours, but I'm still going to, I'm gonna be around the program, Joppatown High School in Harford County, but I'm still going to stay around the program. I coached at Edgewood, my old high school. Shout out to Edgewood and everybody that I know from there. Just try to give back, man, to the youth, really, invest in them, man. I'm gonna be at Joppatown's practice. I still talk to some of my players from Edgewood. You know what I mean? I want everybody to focus on just being, yo, try to be, even if you don't feel like you're making a difference, bro, you at least try. You know what I mean? Like, just everybody, especially black males, man, we have to try to look out for the youth, man. We have to look out for young black males, and we got to try to talk to them. We got to try to show them a different lifestyle, show them how to do things the legitimate way, doing things, and that means legal. I'm not saying there's no correct path in going to college. You don't have to go to college. Just do something that makes you happy, and just give back to the youth, man. I'm telling you, it's going to go a long day. It does not have to be monetary. But just don't live your life saying, like, you know, I didn't contribute to my culture or my people in any type of way, or just the betterment of the world. Because if we contribute to our culture, that ultimately makes the world a better place. In a cliche ass saying, but it's what's fundamental that we need to get back to and get like, bro, that's all it's about. We all just have a better life. That's all it's about. And you gotta, us as black males, bro, we have to reach out to the youth, bro. I want to shout out one of my bros, Caleb. He coaches high school football at Edgewood High School. He's a JV head coach. I got a whole bunch of bros that I can shout out, but this is one I don't know if he's gonna listen, but I'm gonna shout him out anyway though, because he coaches high school football and he's all about that. He works hard to do that, like 88 off days in 2 years or something crazy like that. Like, not something not normal. I don't know. I may be wrong, but he's a workaholic, but he still finds time to give back to the youth. Me and him that's something me and him have bonded and gotten closer. And he's got a clothing brand called Ghost Season, so y'all can go follow that. And all my bros, my Lob City bros, I want them to do a podcast, but we've been bluffing on that. But we're gonna figure out something someday. Bro, if you come to Maryland, or matter of fact, when we both make it, and I'm a fly you here, bro. You gotta have these. You gotta have our Lob City, my Lob City friends. If you hear them talk sports, bro, you will be inspired. Like, we really are we really talk sports every single day. Like, my girl really be on my ass about it all the time. But other than that, I really appreciate you, though, bro, for real. Like, I really, this was dope. I enjoy dating. I'm sitting in my car right now. I was tired and it's hot, and I'm sweating because I'm getting so into this conversation. But this was dope. This is recorded, one of the hottest podcasts out there. My bro Reggie's blowing up. Like, go look at his photography skills. He's the truth. He's a good person. He's a good husband. Treating my cousin amazing. I can only just say I'm blessed to have him, that he was put into my life and married my cousin. Cause nah, bro, it's, every time I'm around you, the energy is positive. Me and you, we talking death every single time we're around each other. And it's like, it's not even, we was just talking even before. That's crazy. He was on the phone for 30 minutes, even before the podcast even started. Maybe like 10 minutes, whatever. But 10 minutes before the podcast even started, just talking about stuff. Like, I appreciate you though, bro. And I'm wishing the best for you. I'm praying for the best for you. And we going to make it to the top together, bro.
Oh, man. It's everybody. It's like, you know, Jay-Z said, no one could fall because all my bros going to be each other's crutches. That's it, man. Like, what do I look like, or any of us look like, if we all not successful? It's us watching. You're going to have people, you're going to have to pay for everybody because you're going to be the only one. But why not all of us is winning? That's it, man. And I really appreciate the words, man, because it's you know, Erykah Badu said it best, I'm an artist. And I'm sensitive about my shit. When I take pictures, when I do podcasts, when I do any, I'm sensitive. Like, yo, I don't know.
The picture fly, bro. Bro, everybody, I promise you. My recommendation, all my friends know I'm a critic. Everybody, most of them, bro, I'm a critic. I do not tell people about bullshit. I don't sugarcoat shit. I will tell you if your shit's trash. Bro, my bro Reggie, his pictures are fire. He's got more that's about to be shown. So listen, hey, follow this man. If y'all on my page, when he tags me in this post, I'm gonna tag him and all of his pages that you need to follow, his podcast page, his regular page, and the photography page. Cause I'm telling you, he's the truth. If you down in Georgia, and I got followers that travel too, so if you down in Georgia, hey, get somebody to, hey, flick you up, at least, something.
Man, definitely.
Support them in any way you can.
Definitely, man. We also shouting out that Taste of Essence, man. Y'all done got y'all Uber. Y'all
always,
done,
always.
Y'all got y'all bills ran up, you know, on the Uber Eats, man. Why don't y'all try Taste of Essence if y'all listening in that Baltimore, Maryland area? I'm telling y'all, that's y'all playing.
I'm going to shout that out, too. They seen it on my page a few times, Taste of Essence. I'm going to tag that, too. I'll tag that too. So y'all can look. I'm telling y'all, some of the best food you'll get, and it's home cooked, and it's made by is made by my aunt, who's her own entrepreneur. She's got her business booming. She's doing that. She did it out of her house. So she's been grinding and she's been pushing at this for a minute. She's driving to people's houses herself. I'm telling y'all, and it's quality service. The food comes quick, too. You're not going to be sitting there waiting all day. She's got breakfast menus. She's got lunch menus, dinner menus. You come home from a long week on a Friday, get you a home home-cooked meal. All I'm telling y'all, the food is fire. I'm not gonna recommend no bullshit to y'all. It's just because it's my family, I promise you.
Man, and that's, hey, I want to shout out to your whole family. I don't know if they want to be named. People got jobs and stuff. Some Charlie, you know, don't want to say
for
it.
Sure.
But yeah. your whole household, your brothers, your sisters, they know who they are. They know the ones that's in Emporia, Virginia. Let's say that. Everybody, the whole Emporia, Virginia, the whole Baltimore, you know who you are. I don't know if y'all want to be named, but I shout y'all out, man. Y'all a cool family. Y'all always welcome me, man. Your sisters are beautiful, man. Your brother, Guy, love that dude. He was just here. He's a hilarious guy, man. And he got greatness. Crazy. He got greatness in him, too. He got greatness in him, too. Yeah, I'm going to say that. I'm going to speak this into the world. He got greatness. He just don't know it yet. He got greatness.
He's
going to
get it. He's going to get it. He's going to get it.
But, hey, your mom, your dad, everybody. You know, everybody. The whole, everybody that be in Emporia, Virginia when I'm there. Everybody. And this is recorded.